Lale, vårens första dag. You're listening to Radio UPF here on radioaf.se. Russia is famous for its nationalist projects, as well as the anti-feminist and anti-homosexual politics. And nationalism and ideas of gender and sexuality might not seem as a natural connection to make, but if you look closer at the propaganda, you can see the clear links. And with us in the studio now is Tova Heidestrand, anthropologist at Lund University, and you're doing research on this. Welcome.
Thank you.
Would you like to start by describing your project, what you have been looking at?
I'm studying a social movement in Russia, which, compared to moral majority and these American conservative moralist movements, they want moral resurrection, they're violently against homosexuality, mostly they are into debates about family politics, because there are quite a few laws taken in Russia right now which try to implement the UN Convention of Children's Rights, and it's a big debate about it, and these conservatives don't like children's rights more than they like homosexuality. So it's kind of a folk movement or social movement.
Yeah, well, I was just about to ask, like, where does this rhetoric come from? Because usually it's Putin that is portrayed as the big anti homosexuality
figure. He's not homophobic at all, actually. It comes from below, you can say. This movement, for instance, they draw partly on old Soviet rhetoric, anti-Western nationalism. Everything bad came from the West. Drugs came from the West, sexual licentiousness came from the West, and so on. The catastrophic demographic situation in Russia was also seen as a problem that was Western-induced, so to say, in the sense that young people adapt to Western morals, they start to, screw around, and they get diseases and they can't have children. So it's an old tradition, but then they have also borrowed so many elements in this rhetoric from, actually, I would say, the American religious right. We have a computerized society. You can just take Google Translator and, pick up anything. So,
but isn't that a little bit a paradox? That the West is a bad influence?
The interesting thing is that they're violently anti-globalist. And but globally, at the same time, the globalism make them possible, so to say. They are fueled by globalism.
So what exactly do they think will happen when this threat from the West?
The idea is, people are different, of course. This movement is kind of heterogeneous. You have, they have questions that you would agree with as well, right? I like certain things they do. But it can also be very violent, conspiratorial rhetorics. They have this idea about the conspiracy. And according to that story, the West is trying to eliminate Russia by demographic warfare and moral warfare. So firstly, we are trying to, get their birth rates down by making everybody fertile, by propagating sex education, which will induce young people to screw around and become infertile from STDs. We are also trying to make everybody homosexual by financing a gay movement in Russia, which is contagious and will make everybody who looks at their parades become homosexual. And we're also trying to destroy Russia by destroying the family, partly by feminism. Women don't want to have children if they can choose, right? And partly by children's rights. And that's a very complicated issue about how much power you give to the state and the social authorities and so on. They're not crazy in that sense, but it's very nicely put into a narrative of conspiracy. And we're also trying to eliminate sex difference altogether by queer theory.
earlier in the show, we talked about fear and how that relates to nationalism. And what role does fear play in this rhetoric? Do people get scared of
the
West from this?
I don't know if fear is how important fear is, actually. I mean, people are afraid. They see a society which is going bad again. Russia has had very good, a good situation in the early 2000s, and since 2008, the economy has just become worse and worse, and now obviously it's really catastrophic, right? Of course, you can talk about that people project fears that they need external enemies in a situation where everything is bad. But I find it, analytically, I find fear a very difficult issue to discuss in terms of, because then I have to, you know, make speculations about what people feel, and I'd rather listen to what they say.
Okay, yeah. And about the gender roles, about women not wanting to have children, for example, what kind of gender roles are the ideals in this nationalist rhetoric?
First of all, in Russia, funny enough, the rhetoric is mainly focused on sexuality, homosexuality, women's rights and stuff. They would just say that we are for a traditional gender roles, but they don't really argue much about it, right? Many of the leaders are women, and in Russia it's quite taken for granted that women work. There is no ideal about the housewives, for instance. People don't buy that. Also, the traditional gender division, if we're going to talk about that, gives women rather a lot of power, but within their own sectors. A Russian mother and wife has much more power in her home and over her husband than the housewives of my parents' generation had in Sweden. Mm. So perhaps women, partly because of that, aren't very interested in feminism. Also, feminism is sort of associated with the Soviet emancipation campaigns when women were sort of working in the fields and running tractors and stuff like that, and generally having a really bad life.
And then what about the men? What is the ideal Russian?
That is very much chauvinistic. It's very much about the breadwinner, of course, but also this militaristic masculinity. Men are defenders, and you will find in this movement, for instance, the propaganda is very much focused on men. I wish I could describe a poster for you. It's two photos of, one is of a parade, military parade in Russia with young Navy soldiers, all dressed in uniforms, all looking in the same direction. And the second picture is a picture of a gay parade in Europe. And the text goes, "In which parade do you want your son to participate?" And that's kind of typical. It's very much about defending stuff and so on.
Thank you. We will be right back after a song and talk more to Tova Heidestrand. But stay with us.